Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of the Extra Features Podcast. It's our annual Halloween horror reviews. And this year, I am joined by Simon Watson. I am Doug Hayner, and we will be spoiling movies today for you.
That's what we do here. I'm Simon, by the way. I don't know why they dragged me into this horror special. Probably because the other two guests I had lined up were unable to make it. One started a new job, and one is currently camping.
Well, that sounds like fun.
So I did. Well, he calls it camping, and I looked it up. It's some, like, mountain resort. So I'm like, I don't know what
okay.
this camping bullshit is. So I have this weird story. So for my job, one of my part-time jobs, I have to do these courses.
Okay.
I don't mind doing courses, fine. And they sent me in. My boss is like, give a bunch over to courses. I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. I'll do them. Like, they're just stupid. They're just things to read usually. Like accessibility training, watch a video. Yep, you've watched it. That's all you got to do. Try to log in. Can't log in. That's weird. Okay. Try again. Can't log in. Not a chance. So even my boss, like, do you know my login? Because I can't even log in to get to the right screen. He's like, yeah, no problem. Sends me the login. I go, doesn't work. He's like, are you sure? I know that's your login. I said, well, try again. Doesn't work. So I go through this repeatedly. So then I finally email HR.
Okay.
And they give me some weird site with some guy. I don't even know where they sent me, but he couldn't figure it out either. So then I get an email from HR saying I haven't done all these courses. I'm like, okay. And I click on it. Boom. It takes me to the site. I magically be able to log in again.
Nice.
So it gets better. You haven't heard the rest of this.
Okay.
I get an email today from Cineplex Origin, not where I work, Cineplex Origin. I've been trying to log into the wrong site for a month.
No, well, all right then.
I was on the wrong site. And they sent me an email today to reset my password for that site that I've never been on. I have no association with them.
Well, there you go.
But they did get back to me saying, I need to reset my password. But they sent me a login, too, for it. I don't work for it. But they did send me a login.
Nice.
I thought you'd find that funny, that now I have a login to some company I don't work for.
Just don't do anything bad with it.
I just deleted the email.
Okay.
I said, you know what? That'll get me in trouble because you know I'm going to go in and poke.
Yes.
And I can do. So I said, nope. Delete. Don't work for them. Now, I told my boss he was dying. So now I have about 7 courses to watch tonight. Because I did some of them, but I don't know if I think I had so many of them because I had good login for 2 months.
Okay.
So now I have a bunch to do tonight, but it's all right. They'll be done by Friday.
That's good.
So this is the season. This is your favorite season, Doug.
Yes.
I say horror is your thing.
Yes, I love horror films.
The weirdest thing is, before I started this show and became a completist about movies, I didn't watch horror or war films at all. Not
really? Okay.
I mean, I watch slashers because I love slashers, but to me, they're not horror. They're just blood.
Okay, I get that.
I'm still a huge slasher fan. Like, somebody puts, I'm in. If I haven't seen a slasher, anything with the word massacre in it, I'm in. I'm done.
Okay.
So because of this show and doing these episodes, I'm actually watching, seeking out horror.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
I'm liking it now. Like, I didn't like it for years. Can't say I still like war movies. I'm kind of hitting this on, but I'm actually enjoying horror.
Nice.
So.
And this year, I guess we could tell the audience, we have 8 movies. We each picked 4. My goal was this year was to try to find movies you had never heard of. And I went international. I think I picked movies from all over the world. Mostly, I think, folk horror films.
And one I could not find. One I did try my hardest.
One you could not find, so we substituted it in for the first movie we'll review tonight. But it's my only United States film.
Okay, my list was just things I've directors, I've movies I feel I should have saw.
Okay.
Like, I really felt that I've been neglecting the 2 people on this list.
Okay.
You can see by my choices that you can see why I picked them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel I read a lot about these guys, and I One of them is Canadian, so I always feel I should deeper into his stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of them I've never seen. I've only seen one of his films.
Okay.
So that's
well. You had two on this list, so
I got to catch up. I got a lot to go.
All right.
And know what the funny thing is? I didn't know he directed them. I picked by the titles.
Oh, really?
And okay. I just read a brief couple sentence synopsis.
Okay.
And one I did want to see because it was a slasher. It's been on my list forever to watch.
Okay.
One that was.
All right. So without further ado, shall we get into it?
Yeah. And by the way, people, this is a protein shake. It's not anything exciting. It's vegetables and whey protein is what I'm drinking. And that's not a joke.
All right. Well, I arranged the list from most modern to oldest film.
Well, I have the oldest ones.
Actually, I had the oldest on the list. So
really?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So the first movie we will be doing tonight is The Blackening from 2023, directed by Tim Story, starring Grace Byers, Jermaine Fowler, Melvin Gregg, Ex-Mayo, Dwayne Perkins, Antoinette Robertson, and Sonequa Walls.
Did you say Ex-Mayo?
Yes, that's what it says here in IMDb.
His name is Ex-Mayo?
Her name. She played Shanika in the movie.
Oh, I know who she played. Okay, I know who that is.
Okay.
What a stage name. I would not – Ex-Mayo just sounds
– Yes.
Which is fine. Maybe there's – I want the story behind that name though. There might be a good story.
And maybe I pronounced it wrong, but maybe. I did it phonetically, and that's what it is in IMDb.
Deep dive after the show on Ex-Mayo.
So I will say that I'll start with this one. This one was my pick, but it was a replacement.
It was.
Because I had originally picked La Llorona.
I tried.
Not the one connected to The Conjuring, yeah, but the one from 2019. So this one was my replacement. It's one that I watched recently with my family. We had seen the trailer for it. We thought it looked kind of funny. It looked amusing. And for the most part, it was. We had a fun time watching this. Big spoiler here. The tagline is, you know, they can't all be the first to die because it's an entirely black cast. None of the main characters die in this movie. So that was a refreshing take on the genre. I thought some of the humor, some of it worked really well, some of it not so much, but I did enjoy this film. It was very predictable. I think the person who ends up being the main villain of the film, I thought that was very predictable outcome. But I had a fun time with this movie. I laughed at times. It wasn't too gruesome, though. It didn't really get into gore. I don't know how you felt about that.
Okay. I think it was a great idea. I liked the opening scene. I thought it set the tone. I'm like, oh, Doug picked a slasher. All right. I'm in. And then I just got – I liked the first, let's say, 40 minutes of this film. I thought were really good. Okay. And then when it just started getting dumb, it got really dumb, I thought. By the end, I just didn't care. I'm like, can we just get this over with? I just lost interest. When the guy was up in the tree and they couldn't take the guy, I'm like, and Dietrich Bader's getting killed. I'm like, this is just getting dumber and dumber. And I couldn't get into it anymore. It had me. Had 40 minutes of a good film, I thought. I thought the acting was fine. I thought the storyline was flowing nicely. But I just find it dropped the ball in the last half an hour. I'm like, okay, I don't care. I had no interest in the villain. I don't care why he did it. I mean, I know what he tells us. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, really? You went to all this? I don't buy it.
I get that.
I just think, I mean, the big white guy from the stories, and I'm like, really? Like, this is just a good attempt. I will give it a super good attempt. Just didn't think they finished.
I agree with you about that, but I think the finale, I thought ended strong. I thought the post-credit scene where they say, oh yeah, I called the fire department, not the police, because you don't hear about fire departments shooting black people.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they blast him with the fire hose. I thought that was really funny. I thought that.
This is in the end credits?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see it. I stopped right after my camera.
Okay.
I'm done. But that would have been funny.
Yes, that, I thought that was very funny.
I guess I should have got the DVD and just sort of kept going. I just sort of stopped and went, okay, that's enough. I don't want to watch. I didn't think there was an end credit scene. I guess I should have kept going as a reviewer.
It wasn't that far into the credits.
I can watch it.
Yes.
So, but I mean, I thought this cast was good. I thought it was very diversified.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they all had something to do. I love the game. The game was good.
Yes.
I did like the game when they're going on getting all pissed off with it. I think that was pretty good.
And I love the stuff about, like, you know, when she picks up a candlestick and they're criticizing her for that as a weapon. And then that's what she uses to just bash the bad guy's head in. I thought that was funny.
And why didn't they use the term Get Out for their answer? Name a movie with a lead black hair who survives. Get Out.
Yeah, that's what I said too when we were watching it.
That's the only thing I can think of. I'm like, Get Out. It's the only one I can think of. Because Us, no, I don't think they do. I couldn't remember if they survive in Us or not.
They do.
Okay, so those are one of my two big go-tos there. I'm like, oh, what's Jordan Peele made? Let's go with those two. One of the Jordan Peele movies. I'm sure they survived at the end of that.
And what about Deep Blue Sea? LL Cool J lives. Do you consider that a horror?
I saw a meme for that today. The first black man to survive a horror film.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, good. I think the black thing's fine. I'm not saying don't watch it. I just don't think it's going to be amazing for people, is what I'm trying to say. I think it's solid.
Okay. I get that. Let's see. So I guess our second film will take a trip over to Ireland for A Dark Song from 2016, directed by Liam Gavin, starring Steve Oram and Catherine Walker.
What's the plot on this? I know I watched this. This is the first one I watched.
This is a mother has lost her daughter, and she goes to...
and they have the house.
Yes, and they have the house.
So I watched this, but this is the first one I watched. I knew I watched it, but I'm like, no, yes, I did watch it. Just give me the... I got it. I remember it now.
Okay.
Sorry, that was about 25 movies for me now.
I get that.
Trip to Pittsburgh. Where else have I been? I've worked 7 days and seven in a row. I'm on holidays now. So, okay, take me to Ireland. Enough of my life.
Okay. Like I said, a mother loses her daughter, and she contacts I guess you could call him a cleric or a mage of some sort.
I think so.
To contact her daughter in the beyond. It's definitely a study in grief, I would say. This mother has lost everything. And at first, at least when I watched it, I thought, this guy, is he just taking advantage of her? There is a scene where she has to watch him masturbate, and I thought that was incredibly creepy. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely when I thought he was taking advantage of her. However, if you keep going, it appears that he wasn't.
Nope.
He actually can breach the veil of this world and contact the other side. And I thought things got really strange in this movie. The ending is something that I think I will not forget. I don't really want to spoil it because it's not something I expected. It's an image that I will not get out of my mind.
Wow.
It's not horrifying, but it is incredibly unexpected, I would say.
Okay. I'm glad you like this. I just could not get into this. I like the whole prepping. Like the first 20, 25 minutes, I loved the prepping mm-hmm. of the thing, putting the salt down. Because I used to watch the Winchester show. I can't remember what they have.
Supernatural?
Supernatural. They put salt down all the time. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense to me because they do that in films. And I really thought he was taking advantage of her too. And I love how she tells off her sister. I'm like, oh, this woman's best. And I just found this film just takes too long to get where it wants to go for me. I don't like slow moving horror. I really don't usually. And I could see people, this thing builds nicely. Not saying it's wrong, just it's not for me in the sense that I'm looking for a horror film. It's very basic. It was done very nice on their budget, which it couldn't have been high.
Because I mean, no, probably not.
Very basic stuff, which is fine. I liked it. I mean, I had some few supernatural scenes at one point, which were a little strange for me. And I found I was losing interest as it went on. I'm like, I know now. Once it started, I'm like, this is not for me. It feels like an overblown indie that they just picked up on IFC. Just so let's put this up. Somebody might want to watch it. But for me, it didn't have enough blood. It didn't hold my interest. And it didn't do – the prepping didn't really seem to do much other than he yelled at her not to go outside. And that was about it. I really felt that you needed more for me to hold on to, more substance.
Okay. I get that. Yeah, the movie didn't really leave me with a feeling of horror. I will say that. It did leave me with a feeling that there is something else out there. And that's why I enjoyed it. It was something different. It was something I hadn't really seen before.
I agree. I've not seen this before. Again, I don't want to knock things all the time. I'm just saying, not for me.
That's fair. Not
horror for me, what I'm looking for.
All right. Shall we take a journey over to Italy in 1985? Phenomena.
I can't remember what movie. I'm like, yes. I'm like, oh yeah, know where we're going.
This is the first one from you, Simon. This is Phenomena.
I do know who's in it. Jennifer Connelly is what I wanted to
yes.
see.
Directed by Dario Argento, starring Jennifer Connelly, Donald Pleasance, Daria Nicolodi, and a lot of Italian people who I can't pronounce their names properly. So
that's fine. I'll just say this now. I need to watch more Argento. Everybody tells me I do. So I'm like, okay, well, this is a good time for me to put them on the list and force feed myself some stuff I wouldn't normally watch. I love the opening shot of this. I love the beginning when the kid just gets put her face through the window. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. And then I find it takes a weird turn when Jennifer Connelly shows up. Like, what is going on here? I was like, what? Oh, we're going to hang out with – are we going back to that thing that happened at the beginning? No, we're not going there. Oh, okay. Well, I know we're going to get there, but when are we going back to it? And then I spent way too long, I felt, on Jennifer Connelly explaining. I got it. I understand what she did when we first met her. He explained it nicely. But I kept trying to build her, and I'm like, she's uninteresting. She's just not an interesting character. Let me hang out with the guy and the monkey. Like, Donald Pleasance and his monkey were much more fascinating to me and showed Jennifer Connelly how to act. I don't think Jennifer Connelly is a good actor to me, ever. She's adequate.
Really?
Like, she just never does, like, oh, I got to see a movie because Jennifer Connelly is it. I don't. Mm-hmm. And let's just continually prove it. Labyrinth, I find she's exactly the same acting abilities in this. But, okay. But I do enjoy the last 20 minutes when it gets a little more ramped up.
Okay.
Because what I think you can kind of figure out who this is. Like when – can I – they take out a major character. I guess I'll leave it at that. I won't spoil it. But they take out a major character. And that came to me. Okay. Then I said to myself, well, we've met this person. Because the only way to take out that character – they would have had to have read something Connelly had written.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because it doesn't happen until after they find the letter. So, I mean, pretty much gave it away. I had a pretty good idea who it was.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I wasn't 100% positive, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know who this is now. Which is great, but I love the last half an hour and that crazy kid.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the kid was excellent. I like the kill house. I thought that was kind of cool, and I got a little annoyed by the end because we knew the bees had to come involved.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm just waiting for her to use her power. Like, you are.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because the biggest thing for my – I used to work at a video store when I was in high school.
I know. You've told us the story about restocking adult porn.
Yes, but I always remember the case for this movie. And it just looked like a movie about a little girl who could control bugs and like
never watched it.
And she would use bug. No, I never watched it until last year. Last year was the first time I saw the movie.
Oh, I'm a year too late.
But yeah, I always thought it was a movie about a girl who used bugs for like revenge or whatever. But it really wasn't that at all. And then, like you said, the monkey comes out of nowhere. I was not expecting a monkey in this movie at all.
No, the monkey's good. Now, I want to back up. I think the problem with this, it's 20 minutes too long. Do you know the scene when she goes to the bank?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman comes and picks her up and takes her home. I'm like, couldn't we have cut this down? Like, did we really need that whole bank scene? We could have made that 5 minutes.
I think that's a problem with a lot of Argento, though. I this is probably blasphemy to horror fans. I'm not a giant Argento fan, if I'm being perfectly honest. Well,
I'm saying after this film, I'm not.
Okay.
This didn't do much. I like parts of it. Parts of it, I just think, like, why are we doing these shots?
This wasn't his best.
Well, I don't know what his best is. I guess I'll discover it at some point. Suspiria, which I loved.
Yeah, Suspiria. I would say Suspiria is probably his best film.
Okay, which I have seen then.
But I think that has everything to do with the colors and the way it's shot. That's gorgeous. But his Gilo films, particularly one we'll be discussing in a little bit.
What's a Gilo film?
Those are like the Italian slasher films that are basically mysteries where you can somewhat, well, they play fast and loose. You can't really always guess who the killer is.
Okay, so this is a Gilo film then, this phenomenon thing?
It might be, but Cat O' Nine Tails definitely was a Gilo film. Yeah,
for sure. But we'll get there. Okay, well, I'm just saying 20 minutes out of this film, it would be great. And then too much stuff at the boarding school that we didn't need it. And just like some of the stuff is just not needed.
Yeah, I think it was the adding of the Gilo aspects that just didn't do it. I would have rather seen a more straightforward horror film with animals, like with the monkey, with the bugs and stuff like that, than a murder mystery, which is what this mostly is.
I agree with you.
All right. So now we're going to New York in 1982 with Basket Case.
I wonder who picked such a bizarre title.
I wonder who picked that one. Directed by Frank Henenlotter, starring Kevin Van Heterink, Beverly Bonner, and really just a bunch of no-name people here, but my God, Basket Case. Do you want to go first with this one?
Oh, this is my kind of horror. I love this kind of horror. There's three Basket Case films. This is the first one. There's two more I have to watch still. They will be done probably by the end of October. I love these kind of horror movies. The dumb horror movies that you just know there's a stupid premise, which I love. This one's this crazy. It's like a golem, I would say. Like a little golem in a basket kind of thing. And the best part of this film is how the golem was created. I love when they do the origin story. I was like, I mean, I gotta give them credit. This is 1980s animation. It wasn't terrible. It was bad. But it wasn't terrible. I just like the guy trying to steal all his money.
Yes.
as soon as you see him show up, you're like, all you want to know is what's in the basket. You don't care about anybody in the movie. You don't care what he's doing. You want to know what's in the basket.
Yes.
It's just a bizarre film. I love this film. I absolutely, as you would tell me, it's a 5-star, 2-star movie.
Okay, I get that.
It really is for me. I absolutely love this film. Is there anything to say about it? Not really. The animation's terrible. It's got a weird love story thrown in.
Yeah.
What? Why is this just sort of pop? Let's have a love story in the middle of the film. Oh, okay.
It seemed like even the characters didn't know why. She's like, I don't know why I've been thinking about you all day, but I have been.
I know, but I just love the origin story. The origin story made me great. It gave it good motivation. I will say that's a good motivation.
Yeah.
And I like the end of the film. I got to see how it – I hope 2 picks up exactly where 1 left off. I don't know. I haven't watched it yet.
Me neither.
But I mean – what do I expect from a movie called Basket Case? Like, it's just one of these strange cult movies that I like, which I really, really enjoy. And I'd put it on for people if they came over. I honestly would. I put this over Phenomenon on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This Phenomenon, I have four people sleeping by the end of it. This is just fun. And if you take it, it's like a Friday the 13th. You just take it for what it is. It's fun. It's like Sleepover Massacre. Not number two. Do not ever watch Sleepover Massacre 2.
Okay.
Terrible film.
I haven't.
Guitar, rock and roll thing in the middle. Not a joke. But being king of the slashers, I had to have one slasher for myself. Okay. But that's it. I mean, are any of these people thespians? Not a chance. This thing was shot on no money. Straight to VHS.
Oh, yeah. I heard that the when he first gets to the hotel and he flashes that wad of cash when he gets the room, that was the film's entire budget. He was holding it for that shot.
Oh, that's funny. That's
to make it look like he had money. But
it's a one location pretty much movie for the most of it.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of something positive to say about this.
There's nothing positive to say about it. It's just fun.
But there is, because it's all done in camera. There's no CGI here. None. All the effects, all the makeup, it's all in camera, and I think that's pretty spectacular, actually. Especially the the operation scene when the twins are being separated. I thought the makeup there was actually really exquisite for such a low budget.
I just think we don't see this nowadays. I really feel 80s horror has its own genre. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, nowadays everything I find is a little bit more proper-ish, like Talk to Me's the Hand, but it's all more quick cuts and stuff. We don't see that here. This is just a straight shot. They're not trying to hide anything. They're going to show you everything. They're going to show you the whole kills. And I mean, obviously everybody's a pedophile or trying to rip them off or something. Like, nobody's ever good in these films.
No, but it and it's all real New York characters. They feel like somebody from the 80s on the streets in New York City.
I just want to know, like, how long these people have been living? Where is this hotel now? It must still be in New York. They don't demolish buildings.
I actually read that it wasn't a real hotel. That it was that was like a set. They had the light bill. That was like where most of the budget went.
Hold on. The stairs, they built those. Everything looks real.
Not the stairs, but like the light, like the sign that he hangs on at the end of the film.
Yes. Oh, that was the set. Yeah. Yes.
So I think that was probably just like their production headquarters or something.
There's no way this place had a production. They rented it or borrowed it off somebody. And I got
probably
the landlord looked like a normal guy. He was one of the few people in this film that I actually liked. I'm like, oh, he's actually doing his job for once. But that was the most bizarre love story just tossed in here.
Yes.
Oh, well. So, yeah, 5-star, 2-star film.
I can agree with that. And I had fun watching it. I was not expecting to, but I did. Well, let's take a trip up to the snowy white north of Canada with The Brood from 1979, directed by David Cronenberg, starring Oliver Reed, Samantha Eggar, Art Hindle, and Henry Beckman.
Okay, side story. Art Hindle is like, when I first started collecting autographs, I would see Art Hindle like every couple months, run into Art Hindle somewhere. In plays, everywhere. Art Hindle in the early, mid-80s was like the man in Canada for doing plays and stuff.
Okay.
I had no idea who he was. After watching this film, I'm like, really? I could discuss this with him? But I had never seen it, so until now. So now I feel bad I didn't have, like, Art Hindle used to just walk on the street. Nobody bugged Art Hindle.
Really?
Nobody knew who Art Hindle even was, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
And this is about 6-7 years after this movie, right? So,
yeah, this movie came out in 79.
Well, I'm talking, when did I start? 87. So
okay, so like 8 years. 8 years
later, so I didn't know who Art Hindle was.
Oh, wow.
There was a guy from this Canadian news show, and I can't remember the name of it. But that's who Art Hindle lets me. Sorry, I've interrupted your whole thing, so.
Oh, no, I'm fascinated by this.
Oh, my weird autograph stories? Yeah.
Yes.
So I just to see Art Hindle all the time. So, I mean, he would say hi to me. I'd say hi to him. He would always sign, and I never weird. On one of these shows, maybe I'll dig up my Art Hindle autograph.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's on an 8x10 from the show. I know Sarah Botford's on the show, but while we're discussing it, I will look it up. What the Canadian television show was. I know but it was big in Canada. I don't know if it ever had. It probably was on in the U.S., but.
Maybe. I don't know. I will be honest. I'm not sure.
Like in the 80s, when I would go to the U.S., like it was literally for a hockey tournament. So I'd see a hockey arena and eat at like whatever local establishment they took us to. So it wasn't like now with the internet, I know where I want to go. Like I go to Crumble Cookies, I go to Dollar Tree, I go to Kohl's, I go to Target, I go to Walmart. Like remind me to tell you a story. I'll take a break and I'll tell you guys a weird story on the next one.
Okay.
But it's all right. So going back to the Brood. Yeah, I picked this. I didn't know Cronenberg directed it.
Really? Okay.
I pick up my titles. And I'm like, oh, this sounds good. And I read the synopsis. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I did read synopsis. I normally don't even read those. But for the horror film, I decided it goes because I typed in on my search 100 horror films. Like that's what came up. You should be watching.
Okay.
And I said, oh, well, obviously, I didn't want the early ones. Like I said, I've seen all the big ones. So I want something I've never heard of. And I've never heard of this. And then I found Cronenberg directed. I'm like, okay, this is going to be strange. And you know what? This was strange. Really, really strange. But I really, really liked it.
Oh, it has images that stick with you.
Oh,
and I'm not even talking about the ending where it gets all weird body horror.
No, the little kid having the flashbacks.
I mean, as a parent, I don't like violence against children.
Neither do I.
And when they had those little brood kids, it looked like the children were committing violence.
They were.
It was like, I didn't know if they would actually hurt the other kid. Those little kids just freaked me out the first time I saw this movie. That was my main takeaway. But now watching it as an adult, I have heard, I forget who said it, but the Movies That Made Me podcast hosted by Josh Olson and Joe Dante, one of the two of them said that this was the best movie about divorce that came out in 1979, which was also the same year Kramer versus Kramer came out. So they say that this is the best movie about divorce, better than Kramer versus Kramer, because this movie like really gets into like kind of the emotion, like all the body horror is kind of external, what I guess David Cronenberg was feeling about his divorce at the time. It was just the mother giving birth to these creepy tiny goblins or whatever. It's weird, but Oliver Reed, he's a fantastic actor. He can pull this stuff off and he's amazing. I don't know why he's not celebrated more. But I thought Oliver Reed was really good in this movie, too.
Oliver Reed's amazing in almost anything Oliver Reed does. I think the problem with Oliver Reed, he just...
is Oliver Reed. He gets in his own way.
Oh, I did remember the name of the film. The show I'm talking about is a show called ENG.
Okay.
So I'm going to read you the IMDb. It was on 1989 to 1995, so only 5 years, 96 episodes. Sarah Botsford, Mark Humphrey, Art Hindle. The show is based in Toronto, and they are a news station that goes out filming newsworthy stories, all the while romance brewing with the new show director and cameraman Jake.
That did not play here that I remember. So,
like I said, it's a Canadian show. No doubt about it. So if you guys are really bored, watch The Beachcombers. That's a truly Canadian show. That's some homework for you. So back to this.
Okay,
Oliver Reed's just amazing. Friggin' amazing. Yes. And I got to give Art Hindle credit. I liked Art Hindle a lot. I think he plays the lead perfectly in this. Like, I had no clue what was going on for the first half of this film. I'm like, I don't know. All I know is something's going on weird up where the psychologist is. That's all I know.
Yes.
It builds nicely. Like, it just builds and builds and builds. And I'm kind of like, what the F is going on numerous times in this film? And then we got to the end. I was like, the reveal. I'm like, oh, wow, that's effed up. Thumbs up, Cronenberg. I'm giving you a full positive for this one. I really like it.
Have you seen Scanners?
Never.
Well, that's going to have to be on one of my lists then, somewhere down the line.
It's like, Doug, people need to know, anybody that's ever been on this show, not Doug, anybody previous Doug, their whole goal when they pick their list is to find 8 films I haven't seen. Or even but no, I think this film should be watched. I don't want to ruin anything, because if I say anything about this, it kind of ruins the whole film. But
kind of.
Was I shocked by the end? Oh, yeah. Blew me away at the end. Just like, wow. Because I watched Basket Case and this right afterwards.
That's a weird double.
Yeah,
double
my feature. Basket Case first and then this. I probably finished this about 1:30 in the morning.
Okay. I
went to bed going, oh, my God. I'm never going to forget the ending image of this movie.
I will say I did Basket Case followed by Vi, the movie that I picked.
Fine. Did I watch? I'm sure it'll come back to me.
Okay.
You know me. I forget things. You start talking, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember now.
Yes. Well, if you have no further thoughts on The Brood, we can take a trip over to Japan, and we could discuss House, directed by Nobuhiko Obayashi. And a lot of Japanese women who I don't know, so I'm not going to try to butcher their names. But I will say this is one of my picks, House. I picked it because I heard that it was one of the most bizarre movies you've ever seen. You kind of just have to see it to experience it. And I will say I agree with that. However, I will temper that by saying I have seen the Evil Dead films. I've seen Sam Raimi before I saw this. But I could definitely picture a young Sam Raimi watching this movie going, oh, my God, I want to do this with Bruce Campbell. House, it's just about a group of girls who go to a house in a Japanese town to visit one of the friend's grandmother and stay there for the weekend. And this house has everything. It has a man-eating well. It has just all sorts of weird things going on. I think there's a ghost cat somewhere. The house floods. It's all very it's all very colorful too, I will say. And it's just something you have to see to understand. It beggars comparison to anything, I would say. I can't really compare it to anything other than Sam Raimi's Evil Dead in the fact that the house comes alive pretty much and nothing is as it seems.
This film is bizarre, Doug. It must have taken me 3 days to get through this. I did not enjoy any minute of this film. I
really
didn't like it at all.
You didn't like the fact that one of the girls is named Kung Fu and she does Kung Fu?
They all have names and all their abilities are their names.
Yes.
I had to look this up. No, literally, I finished this movie. I had to go read the Wikipedia. Like, somebody explain to me what I just watched? It made no sense. Well, I mean, I knew the grandmother was a ghost as soon as we met her. I'm like, yeah, she's done. She's evil. I wouldn't trust that chick as far as I can throw her. She looks evil right off the beginning. And then I'm like, and then Kung Fu, she gets, and people are getting eaten alive by pianos and grandfather clocks and.
Yes, and a well.
A well. And then the guy selling watermelons wasn't real. I'm like, what the hell? Where did Doug find this film? Is the first thing I said to myself. I'm like, this is Doug's Criterion 50% off sale stuff. I know exactly where this is from.
That's exactly where it's from.
I know exactly. Doug's like, ah, piss off, Simon. I'm going to buy this just to see how he reacts. But I got to pause for a second. I apologize.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that, people. I'm having a little bit of a hammy issue, which happens when you go to the gym like I do. So back to where I was going. So I did the wiki page, did the reading. I'm like, is this like an experimental film? And that's what they said. Nobody seems to – it really has no purpose. It's just things put together. It's not supposed to make sense. I'm like, okay, that's where I was confused. But this thing is just trippy for me. I'm like, I'm sure if you smoke some good hallucinogenics, this film is phenomenal.
Yeah, the visuals are pretty amazing. I think
it's got good visuals. I was just like, I need a little bit more compies. Why is going on? And then it finally explains to me. Then I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to get into this a bit more. Mm-hmm. Grandma didn't get her lover, so she's pissed off and needs to go on married. Really? Okay. And it's them against grandma. But the end of the film is nuts when the whole house just starts filling up with water when they
– Yeah. That's
crazy.
And the one girl is riding on the door like a raft.
Yes.
It has some pretty impressive visuals, I would say. Like you said, the man-eating piano. I thought that was
– That's where I started going, just what really... is going on?
Yes.
Like, it had me questioning myself why I was even watching this at one point.
Well, that is the reaction I was going for with this one. So I'm glad it produced that in you.
It did. So, Doug, when you're picking these movies, like you said originally, do you try to dig and go, what the hell haven't I not seen? Because you did a great job this year. I had not heard of anything on this list.
I try to pick really obscure stuff for you because I know you are a scholar of film. So I try to pick stuff that I figure if I've never heard of it, you probably haven't heard of it.
That's true, but every once in a while I surprise you what I've seen.
That is true.
Oh, you've seen that? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like I said, I went through a big Western period for about 2 years and tried to clean up all my old Westerns. I still have a couple films I told you. We've even discussed it off air. The one film I still have not watched. But it might get done this week. I've been thinking about it more and more, so I suggest. Okay. Hence, every once in a while on our other list, we get films that you're like, what the hell is it? Oh, yeah, I know who that is. We're going to watch. Okay. Enough. I'm going to check. Oh, I gave you the Art Hindle story. I'm supposed to give you I did. I promise you another. Did I tell you? I can't remember what the story was. It'll come back to me.
All right.
I owe you another story, people. And I'm sorry I don't have one because I've forgotten it, but it might come back to me.
All right. Well, let's take another trip back to Italy with another Dario Argento film, The Cat O' Nine Tails. This one is, like I said, directed by Dario Argento, starring James Franciscus, Carl Malden, Catherine Speak, Pier Paolo Caponi, Horst Frank, and some other people.
That's very true.
Yes. This one, I will say I like this one a lot more than I liked Phenomena, I will say. This one is more of a very traditional Giallo film. It's the murder mystery where you don't know who the killer is. I will say it's not my favorite of his. I liked his previous film, The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. That was his first film. I think this is his second. This was good, though. Carl Malden as the blind man I thought was fantastic. My favorite scene, though, was the scene in the barber shop, where the reporter is saying, yeah, and they think this killer, it's possible, could be a barber, knows how to use a razor. And then the barber just starts giving him shit about, you know, oh, have I cut you? Are you nervous now? I thought that was really well filmed. All in all, I like this, except for the fact that there is absolutely no way you can guess who the killer is. No. That there are no clues whatsoever.
I absolutely agree with you. I like this. I love Carl Malden, so that was good enough for me to enjoy. I don't think they use Carl Malden enough for me. Like, he doesn't really seem to have a lot to do. He's there. He's more of a supporting. The leads are TV reporter. He's doing all the heavy lifting.
Yes.
But I liked it. I love the building they shot in. It was a beautiful building. The Italian lady was not hard in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I liked it, but I'm with you. I don't think they give us enough clues. I just sort of finished this film, like kind of like, okay, were you ever going to give us something to help us? Nothing. There's nothing to help you at all.
Well, that's the thing with Gylo films. It's very rare that you get clues you can follow to who the killer is.
Well, I'm just supposed to just sit back and enjoy the killings?
Yes. You're just supposed to go along for the ride. Fine.
But I guess being watching this now and being watching, I don't know, any kind of movie, they have a little bit more storyline to help me get to where I need to go. Mm-hmm. Like Gone Girl, Girl on the Train, any of those kind of things. They kind of give me a bit more. Not saying I guess it, but they just kind of put me on. Obviously, Gone Girl, we know who the killer is early. Mm-hmm. But they kind of just put me on that path. But I found this film was kind of like, you guys are going to give me some clues here to help me? So I enjoyed this. I didn't love it. I thought it was just okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too.
So I guess my question is I really am starting to feel Dario Argento, after watching three films, I've only seen three that I know of. I might have seen four or five, don't know. Is overrated. Like everybody tells me he's the king of horror. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll give him a shot. And I'm like, John Carpenter scared the crap out of me in Halloween way more than any of these films have.
Yeah, I think of the Italian directors, I like Mario Bava better.
He's next on my list. I've not seen a Mario Bava film that I know of.
Okay. There are a few out there. I've seen a few of his, and I like his stuff better. He does more supernatural stuff, though.
Which is fine. Like I said, I'm sure I'm going to get some hate mail for this, but I'm just saying this is my opinion. And I'm watching these films for the first time, so I'm definitely coming in wide-eyed, going to impress me, Daria. Like, and so if you haven't, Cronenberg beat you on Brood already. I liked his film better than both yours.
Yeah, Brood might be my favorite of the movies that we watched for this episode.
I think it's mine, too, which I had never seen. But I picked four films that I wanted to watch.
Okay.
That I felt I needed to watch. We forgot to do one, didn't we? Are we doing the Dracula movie?
Oh, I have not seen that yet.
Oh, the Demeter? I'm sure that was on the list.
Okay. Right. I apologize. I have not seen Last Voyage of the Demeter.
You've got homework to do, buddy. We'll get to it. I'm sure we discussed putting that on the list.
We probably did, yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Like, wait a second. We have one more film. Okay. I think we had Dracula movie.
Well, we do have one more film, but this one is the...
Which is available on YouTube.
Okay. It is a Russian folktale of Vi. From 1967, directed by Konstantin Urshav and Grigory Kapochyov. It stars Leonid Kervalov and Natalia Varley. I just butchered all their names. But this is a Russian folktale. It's about a seminary student who, on break, decides he's going to beat a witch to death for some reason. And then the town or the witch asks him to watch over her body for 3 days before it is buried. And then the effects of what happens during that burial period. I picked this movie because it's Russian, it's weird, and I figured you probably would never have heard of it.
How did you hear of it? Let's start there.
How did I hear of it?
Criterion has a copy you picked up 50% off again?
No, actually, I was just looking for my wife, she loves folk tales. And she loves Russia. She loves Russian. So
I'm blaming Tina for this one.
Yes. She actually studied Russian folk in college, folk tales. And so I was looking for something that would possibly interest her in watching. So this is what I picked. I really enjoyed this movie. It came out in 1967. It had a very Hammer horror film feel to me. It was like a Russian version of a Hammer film. It had the bright colors. I thought the effects, I thought, were actually pretty good at the end, or on the first night when the coffin is swinging and he has the chalk outline, the protective circle. I thought it was filmed really well. The coffin actually does not cross the chalk circle, even when it's swinging. I thought that was really well done, particularly back for 1967. I loved the colors. Everything popped. I don't know. I just liked it. And I think discussing it with my wife, the witch is definitely Baba Yaga, because she's the main Russian folktale witch, even though it's never named here. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. I love Hammer horror films, so I got that feel from this, but through a different culture.
Okay. I like parts of this. I love the ending. I cannot believe what they did in 1967, that ending scene with just going nuts and the thing.
Yes.
Really good. I just thought it was strange, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the guy kept trying to escape, and the guy's like, no, 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 no. Back you come. Like, that was kind of cute. I give this credit. I think this film was very well done for its time period. Mm-hmm. Very basic, but worked on all levels. I had no idea if the guy was going to get out of it. I had no idea what was going on half the time. And I really didn't quite understand it at the beginning. And then I obviously got into it. I thought it was good. I thought everything was well acted. I really, really, like I said again, what they could do in 1967, I really felt it was supernatural. Yeah. And those were all practical effects for sure.
Yeah.
And they look good.
And the sets were particularly interestingly built, when, like, the goblins are coming out of the wall. You could see that it's built, the wall's built out so they could go down, but it looks like they're coming out of the woodwork, literally. It's very well shot. I thought that was very
good. I agree with you 100%. So yeah, that was good. So good work, Doug. You found some movies I didn't see.
Thank you.
Oh, I remembered my story, if you want to hear it. It's a quick story. I just realized it. So I'm driving in Pennsylvania. My wife takes us to some Target and goes, oh, there's a Walmart nearby. We got to drive. So, of course, I've learned everything in the USA. Nothing is near each other.
No.
If I'm at Target, Walmart's not near Target. It's like a half an hour north up some weird side road. So I end up in some small town. I couldn't even tell you what the name of the town is because I don't remember. So I go to this place. I know it has a called Country Market. If that helps anybody, I'm in a town that has a Country Market and a Walmart right beside each other. So I go in the Walmart and I notice, like, wow, this is a little different. Everybody was special needs. I thought it was phenomenal. I'm like, this is great. I mean, and it was weird. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was awesome. I got to say, I was really impressed. So then I went over to Country Market, right? Because I thought they sold alcohol in Pennsylvania at Walmart, but they don't. In Buffalo, they do. In Illinois, they do, but they don't in Pennsylvania. I didn't realize that.
Okay.
So I go over to Country Market. So I walk over to Country Market. I find some alcohol. Perfect. That's what I need. I bought some other butter spray. That's crazy butter spray my buddy wanted. I bought 10 bottles for him. He was happy. So I get up to the counter and I ring my cash out. And the guy goes, oh, you got to pay for that over there. I'm like, sorry, what are you talking about? He goes, the alcohol. I mean, again, a special needs person, no problem. I didn't have an issue. It wasn't him. I didn't understand what he wanted me to do. I had to go to a different counter.
Okay.
I'm like, really? Okay. So I wait in line at the new counter. So I paid for my groceries. Mm-hmm. I wait at the new counter, and the woman's like, I don't know how to do this. I said, pardon? But the guy just said, she goes, no, you're at the right place, but I don't know how to do this. Now I had to wait for somebody else to come over to buy this alcohol. So by this time, my wife had already walked over to the Dollar Tree that was there. I come back, what are you doing? I said, I'm paying for alcohol. She goes, well, I don't need it that bad. I'm like, no, you're getting this alcohol now. I've already waited 15 minutes for this checkout. I'm getting this alcohol. So I bought cases of Truly, which is just like a no sugar drink for my wife. Mm-hmm. So I had to pay for a case, then pay for it. She had to scan the next one. I had to pay for it, put my cart. Then I had to pay for everything else I had at once. I'm like, this is the most bizarre system I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
The country market, as is my thing for you, your system doesn't make sense. I understand the person with the cash may not have whatever they need to sell alcohol. I don't know what the U.S., I know what it is in Canada, what we need. No problem. Please have a checkout for alcohol. Instead of making me walking over to a different area of the store to pay for alcohol. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying it's great they have jobs. I'm just saying it'd be a little more convenient to the customer to have one place to shop as opposed to two separate locations. So there's my story for Country Market. And on the next show, if you guys listen to our regular show, I will tell you some more stories. Because I always have one. And Doug, I think that's it for horror this year. Good work, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you. And like, you picked the best one of the bunch. You got the brood. So you're the winner.
Lucky me. Stupid list. And if they make it,
we'll watch it, but I'll cough all the way through the episode.
Good night.
Good night.